Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on The Score.
Yo. And we back, just like that, Gabe Ramirez, 104.3 The Score, just after 3 o'clock in the morning in the beautiful city of Chicago. And I am live and local for your listening pleasure. That's right, all the way till 5 a.m. Hanging out with you guys, man. Dustin Rhodes is going to be taking over at 5. He's going to lead you right into David Hall and Ruthie Polinsky. The other two-thirds of the Chicago lead. It's always funny, man, talking about that stuff where, you know, you're like, you see them during the day and then you get to do a TV show with them. But nobody has a CHSN channel. Let me say something before we get back out to the phone lines. I have done hella radio, hella TV, and I've been on CHSN now for over a year. Usually when I do things like that, especially TV, you become very recognizable, right? Like when I first started doing The Score, people were like, oh, damn, I'm hearing you on The Score now, right? B96, oh, Marquee, oh, my God, I see you on TV at the bar on Marquee Sports Network. Oh, I saw you at the Fire match. No one says they see me on CHSN. No one, unless they're at a bar, right? And it's on and mute in the background. Or like people are watching a Bulls game and I'm coming on before them. Like, no one is proactively watching it. So it feels kind of weird in that sense. But either way, still end up doing shows. So I do a show, obviously, with Ruthie and David. And so seeing them often is weird. Like next week, for example, I'm doing the morning show with David Hall here on The Score, Monday and Tuesday. Then Thursday and Friday, I'm doing the Chicago lead. So it's like I see David every day, but like at different jobs. You know what I'm saying? So it's weird. So that's why today's going to be a great one. With David and Ruthie. And David and Ruthie got it even worse because they do two shows together. They do the big pro football show with Clay Harbor, and then they do the Chicago lead with me. Just so you guys know, it's like I'm the sub for Clay Harbor. It's like it's Ruthie, David, and Clay Harbor. They go on like at 5:30. And then when their show is done, Clay Harbor leaves and I step in. And then it's me, David, and Ruthie. So I'm the sub for that. So anyways, check us out. Chicago lead weekday, 6 p.m. on CHSN. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. Of course, Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you, taking a lot of calls because that's how I roll. But we're got a lot of things to chat about. We were just talking about White Sox, Cubs, doing expectations for the teams. Obviously, White Sox in a different position. I think they're going to get to 70 wins. Cubs fans made the playoffs last year, so I'm curious what those expectations are for you. So let's start with Joshua out in Logan Square. Joshua, it's pretty late, man. Are you a night owl?
I am a night owl. I just got off work. I work from a TV show in the city.
Oh.
So this is my commute home.
I love it. All right, Joshua, man. I know you're excited about the Sox like I am, but what gets you the most excited?
Well, I'm more excited for this Sox rebuild compared to the last one because the last rebuild under Rick Hahn, it was very surface level, meaning that there was in the farm system, there was Moncada, there was Robert, and there was Eloy and Vaughn, and there was nothing else. You look at this current Sox team, the way the farm system is, last year we had Montgomery and we had Teal. This year we might have Hagen Smith and Noel Schultz, three to Montgomery. And beyond them, there's other interesting prospects that are getting notoriety across publications in the sport like Baseball America, Fangraphs, Prospectus. And there's a consistent wave coming of young, exciting talent. And look at across baseball, whether it's the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Brewers, and the Tampa Bay Rays. You all have that consistent stream of young, exciting, controllable talent reaching the major league system. And it's very exciting to see.
Yeah, I think when you're talking about the White Sox, right, they've done a good job of accumulating young talent. Right. And we know in baseball, Joshua, that the goal there is to grab as many as possible in the hopes that one or two pan out.
And I
think we've seen Colson Montgomery be that. And I think when you're talking about these young arms of the Chicago White Sox, you're hoping that too, right? If either Hagen Smith or Noah Schultz can be the man, just one of them, right? Then, and if two of them, if both of them are there, you're in for a treat with this team. But if just one of them could be good, the other guys that you have on the team, right? Davis Martin, Schomburg, Drew Thorpe, Cannon,
Shane Smith.
There are bodies there to get yourself a formidable Major League Baseball rotation.
Yes, and also we have to talk about Christian Alpert and Tanner McDougal, two other prospects that should be up this year for the Sox.
Give me those names again.
Tanner McDougal, mm-hmm, and Christian Alpert.
Oh, I love
McDougal
this.
Might break camp as a 5-starter. He was a 5th-round pick for the Sox a few years ago. But, yeah, I suspect the organization is going to take another step forward to being relevant. They took a 19-game improvement last season. It's not crazy to think they have another 10, 12, 15-game improvement this year.
Especially because it was so bad, right? It's not like you're talking about a 10-game improvement from 80 wins. You're talking about from the worst record ever in baseball. So it shouldn't seem far-fetched.
No, but also they lost a ton of run games because their bullpen was atrocious, which is a crazy thing. They lost so many run games. I think they're like 18-33 in run games last year.
Yeah.
Something crazy like that.
It was crazy. And you know what, Joshua, I had the opportunity, as I've mentioned several times now, to talk to Chris Getz on the show. And, you know, I brought that up. I said, hey, man, you know, you lost so many one-run games last year. I was like, was that why the focus was on, you know, bullpen help with like guys like Sir Anthony Dominguez? And he actually gave a really great answer, Joshua, where he said, you know, Gabe, he's like, that wasn't my priority because there are multiple ways to fix that gap. He's like, well, one-run games, it could be starting pitching that puts you in a better position to win. It could be
home runs.
Exactly what he said. He goes, it could be offense. He's like, and it could be bullpen. So like, he's like, there's three different things that can affect those one run games. He's like, so we did put money in the bullpen, but you know, we also went and got Mooney. We also think our young guys can help out. So we think there's multiple ways to help out in that area.
How many home runs do you think Minnetonka is going to hit?
I know. It just depends, right? Like if he takes the approach of, hey, man, I'm either going to be, you know, boom or bust guy, then I think he can get over 30. I think he can be 33, right? But if he wants to be a baseball player, if he wants to change his approach and say, you know, I had too many swing and miss, my swing and miss rate is too high, so I want to maybe just slow the swing down a little bit and make more contact, then I think he might be in like the 24 to 26 range.
I agree. Across town, if I'm a Cubs fan, I'm very upset because for years, Ricketts has been saying, once you get the network up, be able to spend all this money, all these players, there's no reason why the Cubs should have let Kyle Tucker out the building.
Yeah.
Imagine this Cubs team with Kyle Tucker, with Alex Bregman, with Nico Horner. They're a World Series contender. And the Eric Cabrera trade was nice. They took a lotto ticket prospect, Owen Cassie, for Edward Cabrera, a proven starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. If I'm a Cubs fan, I'd be very concerned about the direction of ownership.
I mean, I like their front office. Joshua, I got to be honest, I'm a fan of the Cubs front office, and that's as a Sox fan speaking, just because I like the moves that they made, right? Over the last couple of years, granted, they haven't made big splashes, but they've made ones that have tried to keep them relevant or as close as possible because their window wasn't open yet. And now that their window is here, I'm the number one person that's pushing back. Last year, I was all about it. I'm like, Kyle Tucker? You just replaced Cody Bellinger with Kyle Tucker. What kind of improvement to the team are you making? I'd be pissed if I was a Cubs fan. And then this year, it's kind of like the same thing, right? Kyle Tucker goes, and you bring in Bregman, and you're like, wait, you keep giving me one superstar. Like, I need multiple. You need more money.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, you need more aircraft carriers. So, and then they try to wave the carrot in front of your face and say, oh, yeah, but you know what? We have young prospects in the trade deadline. You know, we can always make moves there. And then they just make marginal moves as opposed to making big splashes and giving up things. So, yeah, I'd be pissed too. But I do love love the fact that they've even made the moves to put themselves in this position because there's a low bar in the NL Central, right? Like, you're playing the Pirates, you're playing the team that's given up in the Cardinals, the Brewers just gave up half their damn rotation. So, you know, you're like the Tigers of the National League.
I placed a bet for the Pirates to win the division.
Oh, I love that. What were the odds? Do you remember?
long. Plus seven.
Okay, that sounds 700. That's about right. Hey, again, it's the NL Central. Anything can happen. Last year, everybody thought the Cubs were going to win, and look what happened there.
True. I think the Cubs have some more moves to make. Their offense doesn't really scare me. You need another power bat if they walk out the building. Their defense is great, but I think Jed is way more conservative than Theo when it comes to building the roster. And I think that's kind of hurting the team.
Yeah, I think he has a little bit more handcuffs on him for that. That's what I think is going on there. Hey, Joshua, before I let you go, I want to let you in on a little secret that we have here on the Overnights. So you have now been dubbed a night owl, okay? And just so you know, the secret code is when you call in next time, because I want you were a great call. That's why I said I'm dubbing you a night owl. You were a great call. So when you call back in again and I say, hey, Joshua, are you a night owl? You're supposed to say, who? There you go.
I used to call the show all the time, and Les was hosting the show. It's my first time calling since he passed.
That's all right. Actually. I got you. That's why we're here, man. We're trying to give the people some.
I'm glad it's back.
I'm
glad the Overnight show's back.
Mondays and Fridays is when we're aiming for it to be back, all right?
Thank you.
All right, Joshua, have a great one. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score. Taking your phone calls. We got the wheel of topics out here. You can, obviously, overnight, you can call and talk about whatever you want. As of late, we've been talking about expectations for Cubs and Sox. But we also got Bears talks, Bulls talk, if you want to put a dollar in the bucket. I'm here for some Chicago Fire chat, if you're there as well. But let's go back out to the phone lines. We got John out in LaGrange. John, you're a night owl, right?
Who?
Exactly. So what about Nolan Ryan? What's going on there?
No, that's crazy. They're doing this promotional giveaway about bloody jersey. They're going to give a bloody jersey to everybody. Most giveaways are like every 10,000 or first 10,000 fans or whatever, but it's kind of cool. It's to commemorate when he pitched with a bloody lip in like 1990 or something like that.
Okay.
I'm kind of surprised like it's not a bigger radio topic. I know there's a lot of things going on with the Bears and spring training. I'm actually going in a couple of days.
Oh, jealous of you.
But
all right, I see it right here. September 8th, 1990. Is an otherwise lackluster day. This is according to Kennedy Landry of MLB.com. She's like, but that day, future Hall of Fame pitcher Nolan Ryan created an iconic picture of himself with a bloody lip game. So now, on May 29th, when the Rangers face the Royals, all fans who attend are going to receive a replica blood-stained Nolan Ryan throwback. Well, all right.
I'm going to be one of those.
At least the blood's not from the Robin Ventura fight. That would have been bad if it would have been.
No, that would be cool. Oh, they're doing a bobblehead giveaway too.
Not of that, right?
You know, of the headlock. Yes.
Are they really?
They are. You can look that up.
I am right now. Nolan Ryan.
I don't know what day that is.
Headlock bobblehead.
Robin Ventura bobblehead.
That is hilarious. Did you happen to hear the story that Bo Jackson told about that?
No.
Oh.
No, enlighten me.
Tyler, please right now, my producer, Tyler Ferengaw, please go get the audio of Bo Jackson talking about the Robin Ventura dust up. Please, 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 please. So I'll give you the
realize he was a part of that. Bo Jackson was part of the
Oh my god.
The dust up?
John, I'm going to give you just a brief summation of the chat that Bo Jackson had, and then we'll try to get it if you're listening.
Is this like a third encounter, because he wasn't with the Sox then or Texas, right? So
he was with the Sox.
It has to be like a story he heard from
No,
Ventura?
He was with the Sox. He was with the Sox. Told the story vividly. He said,
"Okay."
The way that he told the story, and again, we'll play it in a second. He told the story. He said, "We were all talking about charging the mound." He's like, "We all were talking about this." He's like, "Me, Tim Raines, Robin Ventura, everybody." He's like, "We're talking about it." He's like, "And we told the guys, if you charge the mound, what you're supposed to do is stick your helmet into the pitcher's chest, So you run, you put your helmet into their chest, and then you tackle them to the ground because they're on the mound, so they'll be off balance. So you run at them with your helmet, you tackle them, and then when they're in the ground, that's when you get on top of them and you start punching them. Bo Jackson goes, Robin Ventura did the exact opposite. he goes, we're sitting there at the top of the dugout. He's like, and right when Robin takes off his helmet, he's like, me and Tim Raines are yelling, no, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to take off your helmet. He's like, and then that's why Nolan Ryan was able to grab him in the headlock and then throw. He goes, what'd he say? He goes, and then he wasn't punching him. He was just giving him a noogie. slapping him on the top of the head. Thanks for having me think back to that, John. I appreciate
you. No, it's classic. You know, I bleed Cubby Blue, and my favorite Cub is Hawk.
Okay.
And I was born in 82, so like I was a little kid watching this, but I still think about Andre Dawson charging Eric Shaw.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, and Andre Dawson was a scary guy, right? Like lanky, thin, athletic. It's like he probably wouldn't want to fight
no
a guy.
Knees. He had no knees.
Yeah, right. No knees. So true.
AstroTurf killed his knees.
Playing for the Expos will do that to you, you know, out there. Hey, John, I appreciate the phone call. And because you are a night owl, please, whenever I'm on, feel free to call in. We'll get you to the top of the list. All right, brother?
Okay. Bye.
All right. Gabe Ramirez again hanging out with you. 104.3 The Score. Live and local to 5 a.m. Again, that's when Dustin Rhodes takes over. David Hall, Ruthie Polinsky will be taking over the morning show. Mully going to be out for a couple of weeks. He'll be in Hapon, Japan, handling business over there. But in the meantime, phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. It's interesting that he said that he bleeds Cubby Blue, but he's going to all these Nolan Ryan games, which is interesting. Tyler, how are we doing with that Bo Jackson audio? Did you find
Almost
it?
Almost got it.
Yeah, yeah. But you found it, though?
I found it.
I cannot wait for you to get that and play that, because that is going to be great. Bo Jackson had a couple of good stories. He's a great storyteller. He's hilarious. I didn't realize how funny Bo Jackson was. But you loved hearing him talk about his time with the Chicago White Sox. What a time, man. I remember that. Like, I'm such a big, like, the reason I love the White Sox, to be very clear, is because of Frank Thomas. Like, I was a pudgy little Puerto Rican kid growing up. And I played baseball, and so I used to think I was the big Hurt. I'm like, this dude's bigger than everybody. I'm going to be Frank Thomas. I'm going to be a big kid playing baseball. And that's what I thought. I also love Black Jack McDowell. Love Wilson Alvarez. When I saw Latino pitching for the White Sox, I was like, oh, my God, this is great. But Black Jack McDowell, loved him. Bobby Thigpen, I mean, when he had all those saves, it's just, this is like when you're a kid and you're hearing about this stuff, and you're just like, yeah, I love the White Sox. Then you'd go to a couple more games, you know, over there than you would up north. But my dad grew up literally blocks away from Wrigley Field. Used to go all the time. Huge Cubs fan. Went to Lane Tech. My dad did, as did I. But, you know, so you're right next to Wrigley Field. It's just, I don't know. By the time I got to high school, I was already Good Guys Wear Black. Like, I couldn't have been influenced by going to Lane Tech, which is, you know, more than a mile. But Western's 2400 West. You got it. Western's 2400 West. Ashland's 16. So that's your mile. And then you're probably like another 8 to get to Halstead. So almost 2 miles away from Wrigley. Every 8 blocks is a mile in Chicago, if you didn't know. All right. This is the clip from Bo Jackson. This is a hilarious clip. How long is it?
About 1:43.
Yeah. 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 2 minutes. But it's going to be probably like the best 2 minutes you're going to listen to. So, John, I know you were calling in a second ago. You never knew this happened. Bo Jackson talking about the Robin Ventura fight with Nolan Ryan.
What happened? We were lighting Nolan Ryan up. And me and Tim Raines say, he's going to hit somebody. I knew he wasn't going to hit me.
Right.
He was going to hit one of the younger. So he hit Robin Ventura. Now, before the game, we had a talk and said, hey, if you charge the mound, keep your helmet on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Use your helmet as a battering ram.
Right.
Whoever the pitcher is, you take him off the back of the mound. He'll lose his footing because of the slope. And you drive him to where his head hits the ground, he'll knock himself out.
Wow.
Then you got to knock two teeth out, hit him. And Robin did just the opposite. Nolan hit him with a 90-mile-an-hour fastball right inside. After he finished wincing, he looks at Nolan, and me and Tim Raines yell no at the same time. No, we're on the top step of the dugout getting ready. Robin flipped his helmet off first. We were like, no. He ran to the mound, got to the mound and stopped. Like, what do I do next? That's when Nolan grabbed him in the headlock. And he wasn't punching him, but he was knocking on his head, like, knocking like this. Tim Raines was the first to get to the mound.
Yeah.
I was the second. So by the time I got to the mound, all the Texas infielders had Robin and Nolan surrounded. So I hit the mound, jump up to go over the top. Oh, and as I'm coming down through the middle, it's like the Red Sea party. And I damn near broke my neck on the rubber.
Oh, no.
Because they got out of the way. Then I look up and somebody's pulling Nolan out the crowd by his shoulders. And I'm trying to grab his legs to pull him back into the but I couldn't get him. It was a fun day.
I mean, how fun? How great is that story? No, they were trying to pull Nolan Ryan out, and I was trying to pull him back into the scrum. I mean, this is absolutely great. Bo Jackson talking to 105.3 The Fan in Dallas about that wonderful, wonderful story. And what a delight to have a guy like Bo Jackson wearing the Chicago White Sox jersey, even for a limited time. I mean, an iconic sports figure being synonymous with your team, if only for a moment, says a lot out there, man. So again, shout out to everybody for chatting some baseball. Damn, I guess I got to do baseball more on these overnights. I was curious about what that was going to look like, but people do love their baseball teams. That's just it. Like, I think it's like Bears, right? And then like Cubs, Sox, I call it baseball. And then Bulls, is that what you would say? And then Blackhawks?
I would agree with that. And I like you said earlier, we're in kind of like a lull or like a dry period. Man, yeah. That's going to pick up, especially with spring training. Everybody is reporting this week. Like, there's going to be some big topics to talk about, especially if these baseball teams out here in Chicago start wowing us a little bit.
Yeah.
We're going to have some fun.
Yeah, I'm excited to do that. And then, of course, we'll have a ton of audio from Craig Counsell and obviously our team here. You know, pulling it from obviously the home of the Cubs here on 104.3 The Score. So we'll have a lot of that. So I think it'll be great. I'm excited about that. Look at that. 574 texted in, said, I'm excited for the Cubs, but I'm not saying World Series till after the All-Star break. Fair enough. I get what you're saying. I think, and I said this for the Bears, I thought the Bears ceiling, and I said it during the middle season, Tyler, I might have said it with you on some overnights. The ceiling for the Bears, I always felt was NFC Championship game. Because I felt like they'd be...
This year.
Yeah, this year. This one that just passed. I always said it was NFC Championship game because I felt like they could stumble their way into a win or two. And then maybe they would get outclassed because obviously the Bears weren't supposed to be good this year. So you felt like they could get to a certain level, but then the top three or four teams that like have been grinding and chipping away, like they would be able to showcase the separation between the Bears and next said team. I feel that way about the Cubs, where I feel like the Cubs, their ceiling this year is going to be NLCS. Like losing to the Dodgers in the NLCS is going to be the ceiling. Now, if they can break through that, that would be crazy, right? Like, but if you have to see the Dodgers in the first round, well, it's been fun. Cubs had a good season.
My realistic outlook for this season is they haven't won the division, and I'm not counting the COVID season. They haven't won the Central since 2017. Last year, I think it was, they have to take this division, right? In comes Milwaukee with literally the greatest run in the history of that franchise. Came out of nowhere, took the division, beat them in the playoffs. This year, they're subtracting being the small market team. The Reds aren't there yet. St. Louis is unloading. The Pirates are the Pirates. Yeah. This is the year for them to take the Central. If they don't...
But Tyler, it's not even that this is the year for them to take it. It's what your tail end of your sentence is going to be. If they don't... This is the first year where it's like, if they don't... Last year they were supposed to, and they didn't. Luckily, still made the playoffs, and it was like, all right, whatever.
I want them to start there, though, because this year, if they don't, is worse than last year.
Of course.
Way worse.
Because the rest of the teams are worse. So, like, if you lose, it's because some other team had a miraculous run again, right? And you couldn't withstand it. Or you had some lulls during the season, which I don't think. I think this year is going to be different from the Cubs. I think, listen, they're going to have a target on their back, right? Where last year it was kind of like, yeah, whatever. Cubs are the Cubs. We'll see if we beat them. We'll see if we don't. But this year, I think they're going to be viewed, because of their playoffs, they're going to be viewed as a team that you have to play tough night in and out of. So those three-game series are going to be more difficult.
To you, how much different did the Alex Bregman signing mean to the Cubs?
I mean, you're replacing Kyle Tucker. And I'm talking about not position. I'm talking about productivity.
Presence.
You went from Cody Bellinger to Kyle Tucker to Alex Bregman. That's all you did. So you didn't upgrade, right? Because those guys essentially are the same when you're talking about productivity. But, you know, Cody Bellinger's playing center field. I mean, that's a huge position, right? You put PCA there now, so that's good. Then you got Kyle Tucker, your left field, first base. Like, what's going on there? Okay, he's gone now. You got Bregman, now's your third baseman. So you're plugging in holes, but it's like the bucket with holes, a bunch of holes in it. Like, you put your finger on one hole, and then the other hole goes out. And then you put your finger on that hole, and now another one comes out. Like, that's what's happening with the Cubs, because they're not doing enough, right? And again, it's not – they're maintaining the status quo. It's like, when you see the Dodgers doing whatever they're doing, you have to make a splash in order to try to compete. And it seems as over the last couple of seasons, they're doing enough to get them where they got to go. And then they're hoping they could do something at the trade deadline to make a difference. And we'll get to see, you know, what that looks like. But we get to hear from you on the other side. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you, getting some text messages that are glad that we're doing the overnight thing, which is, we're here, baby. We out. 2026. We're on FM now, baby. We got to do it. We got to give the people what they want. And that's a little opportunity to talk about your favorite sports teams. All right. And that's what I'm here for. So you can either talk Cubs and Sox on expectations. We're talking. And when it comes to Bears, I said, if you can put the stadium anywhere you want without limitations, we're in for that. Dollar in the bucket. If you're going to talk about some Bulls, you'd be scratching my ego if you talk some fire with me. I wouldn't hate that either. But we'll take your calls on the other side. All right. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on the overnight. Yes, this is live. We are live and local right here on 104.3 The Score.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on The Score.
And they are not like us. You're absolutely right. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. 104.3 The Score. Tyler Ferengar producing today. And on the wheel, where would you drop the Chicago Bears Stadium if you could drop it anywhere? It could be anywhere. It might be Hammond. It might be Arlington Heights. Might be Wrigleyville. Like Wrigleyville. Why did I say it like that? Wrigleyville, like somebody else would say. We're talking about that. We're talking about expectations for Cubs and Sox. What are those for you? We're also talking about the Chicago Bears as a whole. Of course, this is our team and, you know, expectations for next year, free agency. You could talk about the defense if you're so inclined to do so. Who do you think is going to be playing safety? 25th pick in the draft. Tons of stuff, but that's what the overnight is for. So that way you can call and hang out with us. And then, of course, 5 o'clock, leading you right into the pregame show. Dustin got you faded. And then, of course, after that, Ruthie Polinsky, David Hall, going to take over for that morning show. But let's go out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We got Ryan. What's going on, Ryan?
Actually, hold on one second.
Oh, okay. My bad. Ryan's not there yet. All right. We'll get him lined up in just a second. But in the meantime, like I said, phone lines are open. Text lines are open. A lot of people surprised because they didn't hear it. But yeah, Monday was the first day we did the overnights. And then today we get to do it. So the goal is twice a week. You got to remember, I got 3 kids and I got other jobs. So I'm going to try to slide in here and do some overnights. And I'm also not young anymore. So I'm going to try to slide in here and do overnights. But I think more so than anything else, you're just trying to, you know, get the people what they want. Listen, I know some people that are calling in, especially during the bear season, like all my third shifters or people that are like driving trucks. I'm getting some text messages there. 219 says, Gabe, you doing overnights? I usually listen to podcasts on my drive into work. So I just happened to turn on The Score this morning. Yeah, twice a week, we're going to try to get it in. You know, give the people, spread them out a little bit, but give the people what they want. And I think you guys deserve it. I know that, you know, Les, obviously, used to do a great job. And, you know, Grody took over for a minute. I, myself, Judson Richards, Rami, you know, even Chuck Swirsky's done some overnights here on the Score. And so I think when we switched over to the FM dial, we just wanted to, you know, throw a couple extra live shifts out there for the people. And I think that's where I'm at right now. And I felt like it was a cool opportunity to, you know, chat with the people and build a community overnight, you know, because these you guys are the hard workers. Chicago's a crazy city of hardworking people, right? We grind, we outgrind people. That's what we do. And so if you're up at this hour working or doing something of the sorts, you are the epitome of the grind. And so that's where that should be right there. I was talking about the, so again, phone lines are open. You can talk about anything. You got Bulls, Bears, Cubs, Sox. Phone lines are yours, but let's go out to them right now. 312-644-6767. Ryan, are you a night owl?
Yeah, I'm here. I worked 3 to 11. Knew you were coming on today.
Love it.
So I do agree. This is one of the slowest and most awkward times in sports because, you know, no football, no baseball, hockey, they're playing in the Olympics, and basketball is heading into its all-star break starting tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, yeah, there's a lot of talk about how to fix the all-star game and how to fix NBA tanking. And let me tell you, there's also talk about how to get me a woman, right? And it'd be foolish of me to say that there's no fixing that. But I want to say, I think there's no fixing the whole tanking for a guy, for a chance at a guy who might not be good. There's just no fixing that. And as far as the All-Star game, I mean, guys are going to just continue to play patty cake. And I know that's kind of a Debbie Downer take, right? Friend of the show, Nick Wright, right? He actually had this crazy idea of having, yeah, do you hear it?
That's hilarious.
That'd be white versus black, except the problem is we were the guy like you or me or Jaime Jaquez, right? Goes like this.
Yeah.
So that's a non-starter. It's just, I don't know much. I heard they're doing like European and like the old heads.
What about Yuki Kawamura? You know what I'm saying? If Yuki gets in there, where is he going to play at?
The way he's playing, he might just make it somewhere in there, right?
Tell me about it. Well, I love All-Star Weekend. You know, I mean, I'm just an NBA fan, so I do love the festivities and, you know, the video game nature of seeing superstars that you just, you know, you obviously wouldn't normally see them playing together. So then you get the opportunity to see them. I think that's cool. The dunk contest, I mean, without a doubt, I think we all can agree that it's lost its allure a bit. Three-point contest is cool. They should back it up a little bit, though, Ryan, the three-point contest. You know what I mean? Like, people can shoot from all over the place now. Just make it ridiculous. Like, make it 4 feet behind the three-point line. See who can make those. Like, that I'm more interested in something like that, the unbelievable. The Rising Stars game I really enjoy. Just because you get an opportunity to see guys that aren't all-stars, but that could potentially be that. You see Modest in there playing again. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, proud of him. And that Bulls, we're going to have to talk about the Bulls. I might not want to. You might not want to. But
dollar in the bucket.
It's just going to be Bulls. And I think Matas, you know, I think he's got the keys. Billy Donovan, he's in over his head, right? Because they're going to just complete guards, and I don't know if they really have a plan, right? Yeah,
that's
something tough. I don't really...
That's what I'm saying. So, Ryan, I guess the question that we were asking earlier is, you know, what is your mood then when it comes to Chicago sports in the present? Like, what are you? Are you on snooze? Are you on do not disturb? Are you, you know, highly active? Like, where are you at, you'd say, right now?
Right now, I am contemplating whether I want to make this wager that the Bears will make the Super Bowl because, I mean, shoot.
What are the odds right now, Ryan?
Like $3 will get you like $80.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got $3. I got $3 for sure laying around that I would love to do that too. I might have to borrow it from Tyler, Ryan. I might have to borrow it from Tyler, but I think I could do it.
We might have to wait because we might lose Brisker. That might hurt our chances and, you know, raise the odds even more. And I don't know what's going on there. I heard we're going to be losing a lot of our secondary guys. Brisker, is Bayard going to stay?
I mean, that's
Justin, I think he's the best player.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Kevin Byard is getting a little long in the tooth. You know, might have had his best game or best season of his career. And then Jaquan Brisker, I mean, he's a guy that is coming off his rookie contract ready to get paid. And I'm sure the way he played in the playoffs and, you know, he's not taking health into consideration, so he wants top dollar. So I think I could see someone like the Atlanta Falcons, you know, where Ian Cunningham is gone now, taking a stab at a Jaquan Brisker just to kind of solidify their defense as opposed to getting a bit younger.
Yeah, and Falcons, good fit. Nashawn Wright, he might go to the Jets because, they had, like, no interceptions. They're probably going to offer him a dumb chunk of money. He's a leader. Him and Kevin Byard, they need interceptions. So look to the Jets for either of those two gentlemen to go to.
312-644-6767. Let's go to Charles in Mundelein. Charles, now, I was trying to dub the people that called overnight the Night Owls. You know, it was that. It was the Scorekeepers, the Midnight Mob, or the Graveyard Gang. Any of those stand out to you, Mike, since you're calling in?
Hey, first of all, this is so cool because I work in bars, and I usually get off around this time, and I used to call in late night to talk to Les Grobstein. And when I got in the car tonight and I had 104.3 The Score on, I'm like, wait, Gabe Ramirez on right now? Let's go.
Let's go, so baby.
I just want to tell you, man, I followed you, you know, through the years, you know, when you did the FM stuff, and it's just really cool that you're doing this right now. But I got to tell you, man, I work in bars, like I said, and I knew it was going to be a rough night. I walk in tonight, and Curling is on every single
TV. Let's go!
He's really here right now, and I just know, like, you guys are talking about, like, where you're at, like, as a Chicago sports fan, and it's like, I don't know. That's the answer to the question. It's okay to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
My TikTok For You page is just full of Bears highlights. And it's like, it's like, bro, I'm reliving the Packers throw over and over, or even the Rams throw. It's just like seeing that and be able to live in that one more time just to have that emotion. Now we're going to be thirsty for it for the next, you know, 7 months or whatever it is.
Charles, what it really is, you know what I'm saying, you're in a relationship with the Bears, and you keep going back to the good old days. You know what I'm saying? You're like, damn, I remember when we used to go out on dates all the time. Oh, I remember when we went to the museum. Like that, you're thinking of, that's what you're doing. You're going, and you're uncertain about the future. Why are you unsure, Charles, about the Bears? Because that's what it sounds like is happening right now.
Well, because this has really been the perspective with so many people. You don't know when you're going to get another bite at the apple.
Yeah.
You know, God forbid next year they go 10-7 or, you know, 9-8 and they miss the playoffs. Like, bro, that'd be such a letdown. But that's totally possible. It's totally possible.
Of course it is, because we know that there's that, like, window in the NFL where you could be, you know, 12-5 or you could be 9-8, right? Just depending on how the ball bounces. And we saw that even last year with the Bears and their 7 comeback victories. I mean, it's going to be a tough season, but to me, how do I want to ask this? When you're thinking about the offense of the Chicago Bears, it was spectacular the first season under Ben Johnson. Are you expecting a jump, or are you just expecting a more refined offensive product from the Bears?
You know, I'm just going to say this, bro, and then I'm going to hang up because I know that you're going to agree with me. Caleb Williams showed that he's him from week 7 on, and by the time we got to that Packers game in the wild card, seeing him barking at people on the sidelines and the intensity, it wasn't like he was being like a drama queen or whatever. He was in it, and you could tell that he was locked in. And if we're gonna get 17 games of that next year, bro, just wait. I appreciate you, Gabe. Keep doing your thing, man.
Let's go out to John. John, are you a night owl?
No, man. I just got off work not too long ago.
Okay. See, I'm gonna put you on the game because I know you're going to be hanging out with me on overnights, all right? So we're calling the callers that call overnight night owls. And when I say,
okay, sounds good.
Well, check this out, John. Check this out, John. And then when I, this is how you know you're in, because you're either in the club or you're not in the club. You know what I'm saying? So you, because now you're in. When I say, are you a night owl? You say, who? You know what I'm saying? See? And that's how I know you're in.
Gotcha.
That's how I know you're in the club, right? And if you say, when I say, John, are you a night owl? You're like, no, I got off work. Everybody that's listening in the car is like, ah, oh, this guy. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to try it again, though. Okay? We're going to try it again. But we're going to keep going. Like, we're not going to live there. You know what I mean? So I go like this. John, we got John from downtown. John, you a night owl?
Oh.
Exactly. All right. What do you want to talk about, John? See, that's how we do it, baby. That's how you do it on the overnights. All right, John, what's on your mind?
I was thinking about salary cap. Okay. Everybody was talking about the Bears, and I was listening to Clay Harbor earlier.
Yep.
And he made a lot of sense. I'm thinking this is up to the McCaskies, obviously, George. If he wants to rework those contracts and give the people a bonus so they don't count as much against the cap, they could do a lot of damage in free agency.
Okay, like what? Give me an example of what you feel like would be a good one to convert dollars into bonuses.
Like DJ's contract, okay. Dio's contract, possibly. Well, I mean, obviously, if the guys are willing to do it, Montez's contract. I think then you'd be able to go out and get yourself a corner, a safety, and a middle linebacker.
Yeah. Okay. So of the two linebackers that the Bears have, Tremaine Edmonds certainly could be a cap casualty, you know, saving 15 million.
That's what everybody's saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And even I know you don't want to get rid of TJ Edwards because he's so good, but you could save $8 million by getting rid of TJ Edwards also. And remember, he has the injury. So, you know, you're not going to re-sign him anyway at the end of the, you know, you might not re-sign him at the end of the next season. So there's a couple of ways you can go there, but restructuring is interesting. Restructuring is interesting. And you know what? I think, and I'm curious, John, I want to ask you about this because, you know, obviously a lot of people have been talking about DJ Moore's contract and moving on from it. But no one's talking about the fact that Ryan Poles gave DJ Moore all that money. Like the bad contract that he has that Adam Hogue said is difficult to move, or Dan Weider said difficult to move, it's also the result of your GM giving him those dollars.
True. I think keeping DJ is probably the smarter move. I think he's more valuable being here than not being here.
Same. I agree with you. I love DJ Moore. I think people forget, John, that you know the offense was able to operate the way that it was because they defenses had somebody to focus in on. So you're able to find Rome. You're able to find Luther Bird. You're able to find Colson Loveland because DJ Moore is the focal point of the Bears offense.
And he's taking two defenders 9 times out of 10 right. When he's on the field. So it just makes sense to keep him. I mean, whether they're using him as a decoy, I'm sure he hates that. But he knows he's going to get his chances eventually because eventually they can't double cover him all the time.
Let's go back out to the phone lines. We got Dave from the Northwest side. Dave, are you a night owl?
Was it who?
Exactly, who? Dave. All right, what
Dude,
you got?
We were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. Me and you were talking about this, and we made this up. And you were asking, what do you guys want to be called? And I said, who?
Yeah. Well, say the last part again.
Who?
Who cares? Who? All right, what you got to say about Caleb?
Here's the thing about the Bears.
All right.
This year, Caleb, the last 2 years, has played all games, right? Two seasons, right, without getting hurt.
Okay.
All right, now, the first year, he should have been hurt after 64 sacks, right? The offensive line, pretty much intact, not hurt again.
True.
Right, this year. 7 out of 9 wins in the last 2 minutes. Okay. Not going to happen again. All these things I'm talking about are not going to happen again next year, and they have a harder schedule. What I'm saying is a lot of things fell in line for them this year, and that doesn't happen that often. Next year, that's not going to happen. You're going to start seeing
injuries.
But
wait, Dave, because here's my thing, right? Because I agree with that, you know, the Bears definitely won in the margins, and I hear what you're saying that might not happen next year. But wouldn't you agree with me that the Bears will be better So therefore, they won't be in those positions that they were in, right? Because they were learning under Ben Johnson, getting better in real time. Now they'll be more established and therefore can withstand the chaos that is the NFL season a little bit better. Do you hear where I'm going with that?
Oh, yeah, I'm not talking. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying the injuries. They were very lucky this year. They had to all the, you know, like most major positions. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. Seriously, think about it. When I was a kid, well, never heard of a quarterback playing all 17. Or back in the day, I was a kid, it was 14 games.
Right.
Never heard of that. They always got hurt. That's all I'm saying. 2 years, Caleb Williams played without an injury? That's insane, especially after.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting killed the first year?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I do think, though, that Caleb is playing the position much better at a higher level where he's minimizing injury. I think you're right that inevitably, in a violent sport like football, that
yes,
it's more than likely that you're going to get hurt. But, I also think Caleb Williams, at least for the next 3 years, is going to have youthful legs in order to, you know, escape what situations where most would get injured. Maybe for the next 3 years. So maybe like in 4 years when he's, you know, 27, he might slow down a tick and then, you know, the next Myles Garrett will catch him instead of him running waves. So maybe that's when he'll face some injuries. But I think for the next couple of years, he's going to be all right. Now I want to bring up the offensive line, which that is the outlier, right? Where all the, you know, they played with each other. Like those are the things Bears fans dreamed of, where came week 15 and the announcer would say, this offensive line has played every snap together the entire season. Like those are the things you dreamed about, right? So we know those don't happen. But I think the Bears have done a good job of creating depth at those positions, right? If you think about Ryan Poles and where he was at when he first came in, literally just bringing bodies in the door. And now he's in a position where he's creating depth, right? Where obviously Ozzie Tripillo gets hurt, but when he comes back, he's going to be a piece. You have Braxton Jones, a free agent. You might want to bring him back, but if not, you can just draft somebody. Again, a much better place than you were some years ago. So I think to answer your question about, you know, the injuries, it's like if the offensive line has an injury, I think the Bears will be better suited to handle it next year because they have more depth, and I think they'll be better suited to withstand, you know, injuries and like ups and downs throughout the season because they'll be a better team.
No, Gabe, I agree totally. Now, as far as the Bulls,
oh yeah, dollar in the bucket, dollar in the bucket.
Wait a minute, how about you? Yeah, watch this. Irrelevant. They're irrelevant. It's almost like, you know what? You watch this, and you think every year they're going to turn a corner or just be halfway more decent. No. We don't care. We're just going to just have people come in, fill the stadium, and watch this crap. That's all that is. It's crap.
Crap, I guess. All right, I hear you, man. Thanks for the call. I think, you know, the Bulls are in a tough situation, right? No? Maybe. All right, let's take a break.
Define mid.
Yeah, define mid, and I'm not talking about range jumper. That's what I'm talking about. Either. Listen, this is a team of misfits. People have been talking about that, right? Where, you know, the Bulls, listen, Rob Dillingham is you could put up as many stats as you want about Rob Dillingham and his 16.7 assists or 7 rebound game that he had the other day. Unless you're watching the games like I am, then you know that those are just inflated stats that mean absolutely nothing. Have you been watching the game?
Well, Billy Donovan said it post-game last night. He flat out said his shot selection is so unsustainable.
Unsustainable.
And then unsustainable.
16 points, but he, you know, missed 4 layups on like the ones that Ayo would hit on super fast breaks, but Rob Dillingham's just not big enough.
No.
he's another guy who needs to work on his body type, right? He's a little slender, you know, so if you want to, and then the problem is, you know, you got Trey Jones on the Bulls, where if you're looking for a second or third guard, Trey Jones can play defense. Trey Jones can operate the offense. Trey Jones can get a bucket. So it's like, you're not as good as him. And that says a lot, because Trey Jones is like a throw-in for a trade.
And really quickly, the tie-in here for the jumper actually makes sense, because in the NBA nowadays, it's who really goes for a mid-range jumper? Right. I mean, every now and then, but if you're that far off, like, why don't you take the 2 to 3 steps back and hit the three-pointer?
Do a James Harden step back and then just find yourself, you know, shooting a three-pointer.
There you go.
All right, we're going to take some more phone calls from my night owls that are out there, man. 312-644-6767. You can continue the conversation about the Chicago Bulls and which one of their newly acquired talents is going to be sticking around the team. But you can also answer some of the other questions on our overnight wheel. Of course, we got expectations for Cubs and Sox. And then if you could take the Chicago Bears Stadium and drop it anywhere. Don't think about logistics. Just, you could drop it anywhere. Where would it be? On the lake, see? Drop it, and then so that way it's an easier path to getting a brand new one, because then you no longer need it there. All right, we're taking your phone calls on the other side. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 104.3 The Score.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.